The other reason you want children to trust in themselves is that adults are not always right. They're going to meet many adults in this world that they don't agree with, and they have to have the ability to say no. They have to have the ability to say, is that right? You know, is that what my mom would tell me?
Fear for their safety.
If you teach children to trust themselves, they won't have to be fearful of their safety.
Well, you tell them not maybe to go with a stranger, and there are people out there in the world that might try to hurt them.
No, I'm scared.
I don't teach my child any of that.
You don't tell them
no.
Any of that?
No. I tell my child that he needs to trust himself, and that if he doesn't like somebody, he's to be nice to them and polite to them and then get away from them. And that if he's frightened, there's a whole list of people he can go see. But that adults don't always tell the truth. Just because people are bigger than you doesn't mean that they're right. And my mother teaches him this. My mother will say to him, Michael, those are nice yellow shoes. And he'll kind of look at her like, lady, these are blue. But he doesn't say anything. Just like, all right, Grandma, nice yellow shoes. You're old, all right. She'll say to him, Michael, Smiley, those are not yellow shoes. What color shoes are those? And he'll say, blue. Well, if somebody tells you something that's not true, you just tell them, I'm sorry, Grandma, these are blue. Oh, okay. The next time she sees him, Michael, that's a great purple shirt. And he's looking like, am I really? Can I really? I mean, this is my grandmother, and I have to respect her. And she's old, you know, she's like ancient. He'll say, Grandma, it's not that color. Oh, well, what color is it? You have to teach them that that adults are not always right. And they have to trust themselves. And that if they're frightened of somebody, they need to tell you or they need to tell somebody that they trust. Now, how is that going to have anything to do with respect? How are you going to teach them to respect their elders if that's true? This is why people don't do it. How are you going to teach them to respect their elders? You want them to respect their elders. So you have to make the distinction between being polite, when somebody speaks to you, you answer them, and believing everything that they say. You have to be nice to Grandma, but you don't have to believe what she says. You have to say hello to people. When they gave this big speech at school about going with strangers, and I was walking with Michael through the mall, and everybody was saying, hi, hi, how are you? Hi, oh, aren't you cute? Hi, hi. And he was like, I'm like, what is the matter with you? Why aren't you saying hello to people? My teacher told me not to talk to strangers. He said, well, honey, when strangers talk to you, it's okay to say hi. You don't have to have a conversation with them. You don't have to go anywhere with them. You don't have to do any of that, but it's rude to not say hello to somebody. It's just plain rude. Oh, okay, so now he says hi, and that's it. And he'll answer their questions, and that's it. That's it. He doesn't participate with them too much. But he trusts himself because he knows that adults are not always right and that he has the ability to vocalize that. And he has the right to vocalize that. And that if he's scared of somebody, that he has the right to not have to be around them. I don't make him kiss people. I don't make him hug people. But he has to be polite. The other way to teach responsibility is to allow them to make decisions on their own through choices. Now, with their choices, are they always going to be the right choices for them? No. No, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to have time out. They're going to make decisions that are not to the best of their well-being at that moment. So what do you do with those situations? Where they made a decision, and it probably wasn't a good one. He made the decision to be chatty with his friend, knowing he was going to get time out. What do you do with those decisions? Allow them to take the consequences. And then what do you do as a parent when you come home and you find out your child's had time out other than freak out because your wonderful child has had time out? You talk to them about it. You talk to them about their decision. It's good that you made a decision. It's good that you were willing to take the consequences. However, it's important that you make your own decisions. It's important that you know that this pressure, this peer pressure, is going to be with you for the rest of your life. You're going to get into jobs like Daddy has. And everybody's going to be telling you how to do your job. And you have to be able to distinguish what you want to do and what you don't want to do. Instead of just doing what everybody else is doing. You're going to be a teenager. They're going to be doing things that you don't want to do. You have to be free to say no. And if you want to say no to your friend and he says, I'm not going to be your friend. If you don't, then you don't need that kind of a friendship. That's not friendship. And that's when you get into the conversations about friendship and loyalty. And being your own person. Any questions?
Right now, with Luca, existing with Tyler. What happened to turn around?
Tyler.
A tough situation that I went to pick him up the other day, and I was just waiting for him to finish his tutoring. So every month they do like to have a picture of the month. So there was all the work of the kids. I passed this little boy Tyler's picture, and in his picture Tyler drew a Christmas tree. There was no parents. There was only two boys, him and Luca, and it was a bunch of presents. Two presents was with the name Tyler, and then I went to Luca's picture just as a curiosity of it, and Luca drew the same picture, but there was mom and daddy, there was the whole family, the picture of Tyler, and then there were two presents for Tyler, and then for mom and dad. So the thing about it is that Luca came home afterward and told me that Tyler got a chance to sit with him because Tyler behaved very well.
Good.
You know, like he got a 10. So I wanted to make it really special for him because, you know, with the history that he had, he was really proud of himself. And so I acknowledged the fact that I was proud of him for being proud for his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then to keep it up with it. But I wanted to do something to really make an impact because it felt to me like it was the conclusion of the whole upset with Tyler. I mean, eventually the kid learned. So do you think it would be good if I take one day, just make a special, I mean...
I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. Because I wouldn't want it to reverse. That's the behavior that you expect.
Right.
That's the way that children should act with each other.
Right.
It's not a big deal that they were nice to each other for the first time. I mean, it's a big deal to you because you're not called down to the office all the time. But to them, you have to act like that's perfectly normal. I'm really glad you did that. Now, this is normal behavior. But I wouldn't make a huge deal out of it. Yay, they're not fighting. Because they'll probably go back to the other way. So for most of these things, what you have to do, if this is what you want to teach your children, is put it in your vocabulary. What I would do is I would pick one word a week and focus on that one word, sharing. You certainly are sharing. Isn't it nice that you're sharing? Don't we all share so wonderfully? Families really know how to share. Start reinforcing that. And every week you pick a different word. You know, you're really honest. I really like it that you're honest. And who do you start with? Your children or your spouse?
Spouse.
When your children hear, if your children don't have that behavior, if your children are in a phase right now where they lie just to see if mom really knows what mom's talking about, which they will do, let's see if she's really with it or if she's totally out of it. Let's see how together this mother really is. They will come up with these little lies. And if you don't catch them, you will get more and more ignorant in their eyes until you just don't absolutely know anything, which usually is around 6 years old. You just don't know nothing. Teacher knows everything. You don't know nothing. So what you do is you start acknowledging honesty in your household. You start talking about daddy and how honest he is. And how that's one of the qualities that you appreciate in him.
At what age do you start then?
Now. Because you want these qualities to be very reinforced in your relationship prior to having to deal with it with him. Most people wait until they have an emergency to change one of these behaviors. But if it's in your vocabulary now, and it helps the relationship a lot, you know, when you, God, you're honest.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that you're an honest person.
Yeah, you know, God, you're so spiritual, and you're so kind, and you're so good.
No, you wait until that it hits you.
Oh, yeah.
You look for it.
Yeah.
You look for it. And every day you kind of look for...
Yeah.
Every day you look for something.
Actually, when
instead
I was...
of saying you're lazy, you say you're so peaceful. You are so peaceful. I wish I could be that peaceful. I wish I could sleep in front of the TV. But I have to do laundry. You are so peaceful. Instead of you're chasing your tail, you persevere. You have perseverance. I really like that you have perseverance. You start changing it around in your vocabulary. And then you start watching them have these qualities. No differently than with your children. You do the same thing with yourself. Instead of saying you're lazy, you say, boy, you know, it's really peaceful right now. I kind of like it that the kids are like in school and I can have...
Anyone.
So you pick one word a week and you focus on that word.
And they'll become that.
your life becomes that. Because you're focused on where's the peace. And you seek her ass. Ah, peace, Nancy. You're so peaceful. Can I come have coffee with you tomorrow? You start focusing on that and you'll find it.
I remember growing up and my mother, my interaction with my daddy, no matter how wrong my daddy was, she would always, you know, he had all the reasons why it wasn't good enough, but there's one thing that she always strived with us was that no matter how many mistakes daddy is, you're lucky to have such an honest father. Your father is very honest. And I remember growing up and I started having a relationship before how good you look, that was the most important thing for me.
Are you honest?
If you're an honest person.
Are you honest? Right. So instead of your two-year-old being into everything, they're exploring. You see? Now, if you knew that your child was just exploring, how would you interact with them? A little differently than to say they're into everything. You say they're exploring. How can I make this exploration spot safer? Because they're exploring. It not only shifts their attitude, it shifts yours. And continue keeping the journal. Continue keeping a journal of how it is to be a parent. It goes that quick. It goes that quick. There are days where it feels like it will never end, but it goes that quick. And when your kids come to you, like we all do, and say, Mom, how was I as a child? You go, I don't know. God, you know, that was 24 years ago. Let me think. I don't know. I don't remember a thing. You'll be able to handle them in their journal and say, here.
Did you ever read that book, I Love You Forever? It's such a beautiful story.
Yeah.
About a mother who has a little baby and locks the baby. Only at nighttime, and maybe the child grows up, and she can only hold him at night.
Right.
And then he goes off, and he moves down the street, around the corner, and she goes, she gets in her car at night, and she holds this big baby, you know.
Right? Oh, jeez.
And then at the end, she's dying, it's her dad, and then he goes to her house,
and rocks her.
And rocks her, and then he does the same thing with his dad. It's just, it's such a sad story. It's,
really,
it's beautiful, and it's nice to
meet
the children. I read
so
good.
So, Barbara, on this journal now, we are recording. I'm
everything.
Because the first part of my journal is recording a lot of negative feelings I was having or going.
It will be. Until you start putting this in, it will be. Parenthood in the beginning is a total crisis. If you could tell yourself, I am in crisis. I am 40 years old. I am in crisis. How do I do baby? How do I do wife? How do I do work? How do I do dog? How do I do mow the lawn? How do I do homeowner? How do I do all this? How do I do all this? I'm in crisis. If you could tell yourself, I'm in crisis and the crisis is going to be over soon, you'd be a lot more patient with yourself. You'd be a lot more persistent. But you haven't put into your brain that you're in crisis. Your mind says this is going to go on forever. This is parenthood. He's going to wake up every 2 hours for the next 20 years. He's going to have a wife's boob forever. If you could put in that this is just a short period of the blink like that, because otherwise your child's going to turn to you and you're going to say, oh, I miss my baby so much.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe it. I miss my baby. I was so on it. I missed it. If you can tell yourself that those crises day to day, you can't even say what it is that you're upset about, except that there's chaos in your life and your job is to make order out of chaos right now. But it's temporary. It's temporary insanity, having a child, the first one. Second one, your old hat. So you have to acknowledge yourself for all of these things. If you started acknowledging yourself for playfulness, a lot of what he wants would look like playfulness to you. If you started acknowledging your peacefulness, your whatever, any of these things, your gratitude, your friendship with him, that life isn't fair, that you're 40 and you got a kid who's screaming at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that you asked for this for 2 years? Am I insane? Your perseverance. That becomes your perseverance instead of insanity. You have to change the way you see in order to change the way you react. So as you start putting these things into your relationship, you'll start seeing these things that you have. And the chaos will slowly subside. But you have to tell yourself it's a temporary situation because it's just a blink of time. Right now it seems forever.
I've been real raw lately. You know, I've cooked.
Because you think it's going to go on forever. And it's not.
Do you get up at night to see the baby?
No, I don't get up.
Yes, he gets up all night. He doesn't sleep. He's a 40-year-old bachelor who had a child and a wife. and life's chaos. They were married for several years, but he was the babe. You're looking at BP, baby Paul. And when he wanted a boob, Nancy gave it to him. He's in trauma. Right, Paul?
Guilty.
Nothing wrong with it. Glenn was too. 11 years. And then, boom, here comes Michael. He's like, what is this? You gotta be kidding me. Don't you ever sleep, child? Michael's like, nope. I don't want to. You can't make it. So you start putting all of this in now. You're a great sleeper. You're a good sleeper. You sleep 4 hours. You start instructing now. Because there is a conscious mind there that's listening. And if you say negative things, you're going to have negative things. And if you say positive things, you're going to have positive things. Maybe pre-verbal, but he does have an understanding, especially on the energy level. And like I said last week, you have to take vacations. It's imperative that you take vacations, that you take a weekend off here or there.
Without the kids?
You bet. You bet without the kids. They need a break.
I don't really feel like that.
They do.
What?
Children need a break.
They need a break from their parents.
They need a break from their parents.
Yeah.
They need a no rules kind of a household.
They get a grandmother. See, I'm thinking of taking a week, and I'm afraid. Can you handle it? You're gonna be all right. You're gonna. It'll be fine. Yeah. Last week, having gone down to Florida, leading my 18-year-old to watch the younger ones, and I thanked her when I got home. Everything was fine. And I find out that she had put to my friend, she said, boy, doing this was not easy. It's going to be a while before I have kids. You got to get them up, you got to make sure she's ready, you got to feed them, got to get them through.
I think every teenage pregnant woman should, every teenage pregnant child should have to have at least a weekend with a newborn before they make that decision, because they have no reality. But one weekend, boom. This is your life, honey. Now you make a conscious choice. It is your choice to make, but now you have. Now you know. Now it's conscious. God bless you all. Have a happy, happy, happy week. Enjoy your children.
This completes session 2 of Positive Parenting. We hope you've enjoyed tonight's program. In session number 3, Barbara discusses communicating with children. Thank you for participating with us in Positive Parenting.